be back with you tonight. Did get an update. Got an update on Sister Donna Arnold. She was at home when I called her after church. She had a Baker cyst. I wanted to say a biker cyst. But anyways, a Baker cyst on the backside of her knee, which caused her not to be able to walk, and she's afraid it might be a blood clot. Brother Mike, asked you to pray for him. He's been in a lot of pain. He is going to have hernia surgery, and he's got a doctor's appointment for May the 24th to get that further. Brother Bill McAfee, remember him and his thyroid. Brenda Finn, stress test. Tammy, his strep. Jason, I didn't check. Do you know? Okay, no further updates on whether he got to come home. Brother Tim Adair, April 8th and 9th. Brother Philip on the 13th for, or the 3rd for, so remember that. We was fixing to put him here by himself on the other. So remember that. Continue to pray for Sister Donna Faye and her friend Sandy and her cancer group. Remember that. Mary Rail's got more tests coming up at some point, so remember that. Any others?
Remember the missionary family in Ukraine that placed in is their last name. Remember the Jim Freeman family he passed this morning. He was a part-time retired policeman.
Right, remember that. Anybody else? All right, stand with us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Brother Philip, you would open us in prayer this evening.
We're going to be in the Red Book tonight. Go ahead and turn over to page 175. Page 175.
Thank you.
Go ahead and turn to page 290. Page 290.
To receive from my Lord.
Page 223, page 223.
Through eternity. sure if I was going to be able to sing tonight because it's sinus time. I'll just pray for me. God on the mountain.
God of the day is still God in
tell you the truth, I'm glad I know how it feels. I just want to make sure I continue. You know, a lot of times we don't think about that. It's like I said this morning, we begin to think about what we see and forget what we know. And we'll get in trouble for that for sure. I'm just telling you tonight. Let me ask you to go to the book of Isaiah, the 40th chapter. How many got time to be here tonight? I mean, I've only got 4 pages of notes. All right. And they're not notes, they're just 4 pages of verses. And I won't read them all to you. I won't even promise to read 1 page to you. But I want you to think about some things tonight. And I'll tell you the truth. I am absolutely amazed at how God works in ways we don't understand. But then also that He works in ways that we can understand and we still don't understand. It's almost like we're not paying any attention to what God's doing and how He's been doing things. But anyways, stand with us tonight. Let's go through here and read. And I don't know how this is going to tie together. It may not. It may. I can't guarantee you a thing on that with what I've got. But I want to read this anyways. It says, comfort ye my people, saith the Lord, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is as grass, and all goodliness thereof is of the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is the grass. The grass whereof the flower fadeth, but the word of the Lord shall stand forever. O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings. Lift up the voice that strength, lift it up, and be not afraid, and say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. I want you to think about that this evening. Behold your God. Father, tonight we thank you, Lord, for your love, your mercy and grace. Thank you, dear God, for allowing us to be in your house. Lord, thanks for allowing us, Lord, to know that you're real and your presence is here. God, I'm so grateful for the Spirit we've been filling in our services, Lord. Father, knowing that we've been coming in prepared and ready, dear God, knowing that we come to service ready to receive. Lord, I just thank you for that tonight. And I'm just asking you, Father, that you'd help us, Lord, to do that which we need to do and be that which we need to be for your name's sake. And we'll give you glory, Father. We'll give you praise, Father, in Jesus' blessed, holy, righteous name. And amen. Amen. You may be seated this evening. I want you to think about something this evening. I really, my thought process has been on this. I heard this preacher read this the other day. We started to listen to his sermon, and he was reading from this text there. And then as he was fixing to get into the text, we got disrupted and we shut it down. We didn't listen. We didn't go back to it. But that thought has stuck with me a whole lot, because as I was preparing for the other thoughts that I had, and this is how it's going to go tonight, that words come to my mind, and it said this, behold your God. I wonder how many of us think about who God is. And you just think tonight, the children of Israel saw who God, or what God could do. But did they realize who God was? And I thought about this. God created. God flooded. God provided. You go through there. God protected. God shielded. God lighted. God did all kinds of things. He divided. He parted. He shut lines. He did all these things all the way through there. And we get there. And then we even see this, that God came. God lived. God died. God rose again. God ascended. And again, we find that He's coming back. You say, Brother Ernie, that's Jesus. My Bible says, thou shalt call Him Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So we see all of these things. And when I think about that, then I had to go back to this. And I know now what God's wanting. I'm going to introduce you tonight to my God. He says here in verse 1 or verse 9, behold your God. O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up. And be not afraid, say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Hear who God is. It says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. God is the creator. And I'm going to go through, and I'm not going to give you all these verses tonight. It's going to be hard, but I'll try, okay? Genesis 1:1. Genesis 15 and 5. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, I am thy shield. So God is a shield and thy great exceeding great reward. In chapter 7, he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of the land, out of Ur, and out of the Chaldeans to give thee the land to inherit. He's the Lord that brought us. Abraham was 90 years old, and the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be perfect. He's Almighty. Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. Who God is Jehovah Jireh. And to this day the mount of the Lord shall be seen. And you just bear with me tonight. I can't read every place where it is. Just bear with me and I'll give you the notes afterwards. And Abraham was 90 years old, and the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me. I'll be thou perfect. Again, declaring himself that he is the Almighty. I am the God of Bethel, he said, and the anointed pillar, where thou vowest to vow to me. Now rise, get thee from the land, and return unto the land of the kindred. So he is the God of Bethel. Bethel, we know, in the night, Beulah means to be married. He said unto him again, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be with thee, and the king shall come out of thy loins. Moreover, he said unto me, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, and he was afraid to look upon God. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, whom shall I say unto them? And shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you. And they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. He's the great I am, we say. But he is I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent thee. Exodus 6 and 2, and God spake unto Moses and said, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham and Isaac, unto Jacob, by the name of God Almighty. But now listen to this. He said this, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. Listen, church, he is Jehovah. We said Jehovah Jireh just a minute ago. But look at how he introduced himself here. He said, I am appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, unto Jacob. I am the God. By the name of God Almighty. But my name Jehovah was not known unto them. And I will take you to be, and I'm just jumping through verses here, and I will take you to me for a people, and I will be you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. Hey, church, can I tell you something tonight? I wrote these things down a little bit. I tried to pin a few things in here. Think about this. He said, I am God 6 times. He said, I am the Lord thy God 7 times. I am God. Now listen, I am the God 6 times. I am the Lord thy God 7. I am God 10 times. I am the Lord your God 34 times and holy one time. So I am the Lord your God. Now think about this 35. I am the Lord 163 times. You just bear with me tonight. I want to try to do this the way God would give it to me. But listen to me. He said, I am that I am. And I am the Lord your God that bringeth you from out from under burdens of the Egypt. So He is the one who brings us out from burdens there. In Exodus 17, He said, I am the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. And he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. And the Lord descended in a cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth. Now listen, it said, and the Lord went by and proclaimed him, the Lord God. And he said, now, and Joshua, he said, and when Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto you, fear not, for thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there, and the Lord called it the Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day, it is yet in Ophrah, and I don't know that last word there, Abzarites. They said, let them be confounded and troubled forever. Yea, let them be put to shame that perish. Let them know that thou whose name alone is Jehovah art the Most High over all. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. And another in the Song of Solomon. Behold, I am like this. God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For the Lord Jehovah is everlasting of strength there. And he said this going on. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard the everlasting God? This is found in the 40th chapter in the book of Isaiah. And when I read that one there, I wanted to just kind of shout. And maybe the other night I was reading there in bed, and I read that verse of Scripture. I had to come back and add it to these notes because I thought about this. He is the Lord Jehovah. He is the everlasting God. If you think about this for just a minute tonight, think about what that means there. I looked it up. Everlasting God is only found three times in your Bible there tonight, church. Let me say this. He is the everlasting God, right? He's the everlasting Father. He's the everlasting Word. He's the everlasting Holy Ghost. In John chapter 5, verse 7, he said that there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. It makes perfect sense to me that everlasting would be found there. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never. Think about this. Not one jot nor tittle of the word shall fail until all the things could come to pass there. It's just not going to happen that way. Why would he not be the everlasting God three times there? Isaiah 43 and 3, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Sheba for thee. I thought about it again. The Lord, he said, I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. He declares three different things there that he is. And then in 43 and 15, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. I love this tonight, church, when you stop to think about this. He said, I am the Lord. Think about it. Your Holy One. Think about it. The Creator of Israel. Think about it. Your King. Think about it. And there are four Gospels we find in the book, in the Bible there. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. The declaration of who God is. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. He's the Redeemer. And he that formed thee, he's the former. Remember what I said. From the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things. If you go to Genesis 1 and 1, he created, right? So he's the Redeemer. He's the former. He maketh all things that stretch forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad of the earth by myself. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee. Thou hast not known me. Think about this for just a minute tonight, church. He's the Lord, and there's no better than him. There's no other than him, though, either. And I thought about this. Lynetta had a dream the other evening. She had a whole bunch of people gathered around her. And she said they didn't have no ears. They didn't have no eyes. They didn't have no mouth. There was no face in them. in, and she said, you know what, I figured out there are a bunch of people serving idols. They don't know what they've got going on. I was just thinking to myself when she was saying that, this is idol people. This is idol worshiper. These are people who have to pick their God up and carry them from one place to another. But I'm here tonight to tell you, my God picks me up. My God lifts me up. My God brings me up. I was the one who was dead. I was the one who was down. I was the one who was going under. I mean everything about it there tonight. But my God, when He come along and saw me there, reached out His hand, and finally one day I was smart enough to reach out my hand. He was calling my name. I was smart enough one day to call His name. You say, Brother Ernie, how many names does He got? It don't matter how many you want to call Him by. I don't know how many verses I got here. But it all boils down to one thing. He's God and I'm not. I need Him. He wanted me. Hey, church, you can't get no better than those things anyways, can you? I mean, after all, you can go through this world and you might be lucky to find one person who loves you no matter what you do. You might find another person who will tolerate you no matter what you do. You might even find a third person who won't be mind to be around you no matter what you do. But you'll never find one to love you more, hold you tighter, cling to you more, and desire you more than the one who looks at you in the worst of all things and says, you know what, I love you no matter what you've done, no matter where you are, no where you've been, but I love you, and if you'll just turn to me, I'll take you. I mean, that's God, church. Listen to me tonight. That's God tonight. He is the one who knew me before I was ever born. I am the Lord and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee. Thou hast not known me. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit and leadeth thee by the way that thou mayest shouldest go. He said in Isaiah 51 and 15, but I am the Lord thy God that divided the sea, whose ways roared. The Lord of hosts is my name. And I thought about this. He's the divider. Remember what I said earlier. He's the divider. He's the one whose waves roared. Think about this. When Jesus is walking on the water, He's coming out there. They see what's going on. He's walking through the midst of the storm. I like this one for a second there. He's walking through the midst of the storm. As He's walking through the midst of the storm, the disciples are aboard the ship. The disciples see the storm there. They're afraid. They're supposing He's the spirit there. But finally, somebody said, you know, Jesus called out and He said, be not afraid, it is I. No, Peter says, I know that voice. I know, I can't see the face, but I know the voice. He said, so remember what Jesus said in John chapter 10. He said, my sheep know my voice. Peter said, I know that voice. Lord, if it be thou, thee bids me come to thee on the water. And Jesus simply said, come. It wasn't until Peter got out of the boat and started walking that he realized he was in the midst of the storm. But I'm going to tell you something, church. Never get your eyes off the one you're walking with in the midst of the storm. Never get distracted by the storm, where you lose your hope and you lose your faith and you lose your sight of who Jesus is. I'm just telling you tonight, church, He is God Almighty. He is the everlasting God. There is no God like Him. You say, Brother Ernie, how do you know? Because He said, there's no God like me, and there's no God beside me. He said that I am the Lord thy God that divided the sea, whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts is my name. By the way, He's the best host I've ever met in my life. You ought to meet Him if you don't know Him. Ezekiel 7 and 9, I will get through all these tonight because I'm not going to stop until I'm done unless He tells me to. And mine eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity. I will recompense thee according to the ways of thine abominations. Now listen to this, that in the midst of thee, and ye shall know that I am the Lord that smiteth. I read that one there. Out of all the ones I read, I'm going to tell you something tonight, church. I know that the Bible says that He's a jealous God. I know the Bible says He's a holy God. I know He's the God that answers by fire. If you want to go back and look at that there, He's the God that shuts the lion's mouth. He's the God that delivers out of the fire there. But then He says this. He said, I'm the Lord God. I'm the one that smiteth. You better be careful, because the Bible's right. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And one day we will stand before a living God. Not just a God, but the living God. The God of all creation. The God of all holiness. The God of all righteousness. The God who come down to us, and I'm jumping ahead of myself here, but listen to me. He said this, "And mine eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity." There is coming a time when the judgment and the wrath of God is going to come down upon man. And I don't care who you are. I don't care where you are. I don't care what you've done. If you've not turned your heart over to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you're going to get smitten up God. And I don't mean fall in love with Him. I mean smacked upside the head. And you say, "Brother Arnie, wait a minute." He's going to cast you into a devil's hell if you don't know who He is and you don't follow Him and love Him. Church, listen to me tonight. Too many times we've played games. Too many times we try to get away with things. Too many times we've ignored who God was and what God has done. Too many times we've just been riding along and not letting things happen. It's just, I know this in my own life. I know this for myself, because I can honestly tell you something, church. I know that I've been a dead preacher too long. And you say, "Brother Ernie, you've done good." Listen to me. Doing good is not anything if you're dead in it. I'm telling you, I've struggled. I'm tired of struggling. I'm tired of holding. I'm tired of wavering. I want to be rock solid in everything that I do, everything that I say. I want to be free to worship. I want to be free to honor. I want to be free to sing. I want to be free to preach. I want to be free in the things of God and nothing else. And as the old saying is, and if the devil doesn't like it, he can sit on a tack. And if you don't like it, don't have to come back. You think about it, church. The reason why the world is in the shape it's in is because nobody's doing anything. And God Himself said, "No man calleth for judgment or justice." So I said this morning, be careful when you start to say, "Lord, come back now. Come back now, because I got a lot of lost family. I got lost friends." And you start asking God to come back right now, they're going to be left out. I'm telling you something, church. There is no salvation after the church is removed. It's not happening. We're not living the Left Behind series. That's make-believe. That's not Bible. That's not facts. When God removes His Spirit from the... Think about this. If God removes the Spirit, and His Spirit dwells in you and I, and God removes the Spirit out of this world, how does the world know to be saved? They don't. They don't. Chapter 28, verse 26 of Ezekiel. "And they shall dwell safely therein, and shall build houses and paint vineyards," or plant vineyards. "Yea, and they shall dwell with confidence. When I have executed judgment upon all those things, I despise them round about, that despise them round about, and they shall know that I am the Lord their God." And then for "I am the Lord, I change not." He's the God that does not change. Do you realize that? The same God in Genesis 1:1 is the same God today. And I'm just looking at it and thinking about it this way. The God of mercy, the God of grace, the God of faithfulness, the God of long-suffering, the God of gentleness, the God of kindness, the God of tenderness, the God of salvation, the God of calling, the God of pleading. We don't think about God pleading. But do you realize the Bible says the long-suffering of God leadeth thee to repentance? God is constantly pleading for people to come to Him. He's asking, He's begging, you might say, "How do you know, Brother Ernie? He left me here long enough to get saved. He's left me here long enough to tell others to get saved. He's left us here long enough to realize this, that God is willing, waiting, and all. Hey, He's just wanting somebody else to get saved. He knows who's going to get saved. I'm still praying. I'm not going to stop praying. I thought about it today. I'm going to pray that God will save a lost soul, and I want Him to save one here in this church. Hey, one soul a month. I want to know God is in the saving business, and I want to hear." You say, "Brother Ernie, why would that happen here?" I'm asking God to let it happen here. You ought to too. You love this church. Ask God to let it happen here. I'm not saying I've got to be the one preaching when it happens. I just want it to happen. But anyways, He is the Lord their God. He's the Lord, the God that changeth not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Think about that. Merciful God. Here's where we were a while ago. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He's the God who's coming. Think about that. Upon the arrival of Christ, we had God with us. Because he said in verse 23, behold, a virgin shall conceive, shall bring, excuse me, so behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth the son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Matthew 22:32, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. God is not, excuse me, now look at this. He said this, God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. He is God of the living. Who is God? He's the God of the living. Again, we read this one. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:1. How do we know that we have the Word of God? How do we know that we have God? We have His holy Word. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. And by the way, church, you just count your hat. Hold on to your hat and think about it tonight. We hold the Word of God. You say, Brother Ernie, but are we holding God? I think we are in a lot of ways. We don't even realize the depth and the power and the importance of your King James Bible. And I'm going to say this tonight. Think about this for just one second. How important is it? Look at what he says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Look at that. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard. We've read the Bible. We've heard the Bible. People preach the Bible. We read. We do this. Go on. He goes, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the Word of life. And I want to tell you something. I believe, as I've said before, the Bible is written in a present tense for you and I to understand what it's saying. And what it's saying here is when you got your Bible and you got the Word of God that God gave unto man, and you're holding this, you have seen it, you have heard it, you have handled it, you have looked upon it, you've got the Word of life right here. And let me say something else tonight, church. How valuable is that? Well, there's no other word to have. There's no other way of salvation. There's no way of salvation outside of Jesus Christ. He is the Word. Remember, if He's the beginning, He's the middle, right? He's the ending. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the everlasting. He is the one to come, and He's the one who's already been here. He's the one who's living here in you and I. He is the presence of the God and through the power of the Holy Ghost in my life and in your life. And He said that which we have from that. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have handled or looked upon, and our hands have handled. And I've said this so many times, I didn't see Jesus in the flesh. I know that tonight. I've never looked in the face of Jesus. I've never held the hand of Jesus in the flesh there. I'm not like Thomas, who said, lest I see, I shall not believe. And he was talking about that. But friend, I've seen it. I believe it. I know it to be true because of the Word of God. That's what I've got. Remember what I said this morning? I don't always feel the way I want to feel. And I sometimes, if I start to think about that, I have to go back and remember what I know. I don't always see what I want to see. And when I don't see that, I've got to go back and remember what I know. And when I don't, I always, I guess you could say this, whenever it doesn't seem like anybody else is thinking or feeling what I'm feeling, I still go back to what I know. And here's what I know. He is God. He is God. And there ain't nothing you and I can do about it but love Him, worship Him, and honor Him, glorify Him, or one day be separated from Him. He's God. And that doesn't change. John chapter 4, verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is of thee that giveth, who saith to thee, give me a drink, thou would have asked of him and he would have given thee living water. He is living water. Think about that. Isaiah chapter 12 tells us to go back to the wells of salvation. Why go to the wells? Because you're going to be drawing out living water if you go to the wells of salvation. You'll be drawing out the things you need there. John 6:35, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Think about it tonight. He's the bread of life. He that cometh to me, I shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And yet we find in Matthew chapter 6, he says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Why? Because you'll get the right bread, you'll get the right water, and it'll all be all right there because you'll have Jesus in your life. And remember what we said this morning. Paul said he had learned in whatsoever state to be content there. And he said, "I know how to be full and how to be abounding." He knew how to be a hunger and how to be full. He knew how to do things in the spiritual sense there. In chapter 6, verse 51, "I am the living bread." I thought about this. "I am the bread of life." Then he says, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of the bread, of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, in which I will give the life of the world." And friend, he gave us his life. He gave us everything. Chapter 8 and verse 12, "Then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." I like this tonight. The Bible tells us, and I was thinking about this the other day. I was going into Fayetteville from Springdale. It was still early in the morning. And the sun hadn't come up clearly there. We sat down there, and I looked out across the way there. And as you're going down through there, you can actually see the elevation of the mall there, the Northwest Arkansas Mall. You can see it is kind of elevated up there a little high. And I thought, that is true. The Bible says a city on a hill cannot be hid. Friend, listen to me very carefully tonight. You and I are a city on the hill. We are supposed to be light and not darkness. We're supposed to lead and not stray. So he said, "He is the light of the world." And friend, if he's lifted up, he's shining the light. He's showing us the way to go. And if we'll follow after him, we'll not walk in darkness. Have you ever thought about this? I used to coon hunt with my daddy. And I've said this before, but daddy always had the lantern. And one thing about a lantern, it may shine light in all directions, but if the light is blocked, you can't see it, right? And so daddy was always carrying the lantern like this out in front of him so he could go where the dogs were going. He was chasing off with the dogs there. And if daddy was here, that meant there was something behind daddy. It wasn't light, it was a shadow. And I couldn't see when daddy took off. I tried to follow the light there. Why? Because as long as I could see the light and see where it was, I knew I could get there. But sometimes I was smacking limbs. Sometimes limbs were smacking me. Sometimes I'd stumble. Sometimes I'd even fall there. But listen to me, the one thing I never did when I was going there, no matter how far ahead daddy got, my friend, he got excited when them dogs would go hollering there. But no matter how far daddy got, I always knew this. If I could get to the light, I was going to be all right, because that's where daddy was. I'm telling you tonight, church, if you can get to where the light is, you're going to be all right, because that's where Jesus is, and we need to be in the light. Walk in the light. Remember this. He said, "Walk. He that walketh in the light shall not be in darkness." For him. And then John 10:7, Jesus said to them again, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." Remember, this sheep is hear his voice. He said, "I am the door of the sheep." Then he says in verse 11, "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd that giveth his life. So he's not just the door, he's the good shepherd. He's not just the good shepherd, he's the good shepherd that giveth his life. Friend, there's so much to say about God. Say ye unto whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. Think about it this way. Jesus said unto her, "I am in the resurrection," when he's talking to Mary, Martha there. They said, "Lord, if you hadn't been here, my brother would not have died." He said, "Thy brother shall live again." They were looking ahead there. And they said, "I know in the resurrection in the last day." But Jesus said, "Listen to me, Mary." He said, "I am the resurrection. I am the life. Hey, he that believeth in me, though he're dead, yet shall he live." I'm just telling you something this morning or this evening, church. He's everything that you and I need. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." When we think about all the things the Scripture says, we can know what's going on. He said in chapter 15, verse 1, I read these this morning, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husband." In 1 Timothy 1 and 17, "Now unto the King eternal." He's the King eternal. He's the King immortal. He's the King invisible. He's the King only wise God, to be honored and glorified forever and ever. Amen. Think about it. "Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God." Church, can I say something to you tonight? You know why he's the only wise God? Because people make gods out of books. People make gods out of stones. People make God out of wood. They'll make God out of everything there. When they do those things there, these things can't do anything. They don't think for themselves. They don't answer for themselves. They don't move for themselves. Hey, you can talk to them all day long, and you always have heard this, right? Sometimes you talk to people, and it's like talking to an old tree stump. They don't hear a word you're saying. They don't care about what you're saying. You might as well be talking to the rock or to a wind or somewhere, because nothing moves them, nothing stirs them, nothing gets them. But God said there, He said, I am the only wise God. And listen to me, church, tonight. He is the only wise God. And if you and I are wise, we'll talk to the wise God, because the wise God has answers.
Amen.
And can be moved. You don't have to move Him. He's a movable God. Moves Himself. I like that. God came to me. You ever thought about that? You say, Brother Arnie, no, you had to go to God. No, my Bible tells me God came to me, because He left the 99. Came looking for the one. Church, that ought to tell you something about how important you are to God. He left the 99 and came looking for you. Left them all behind. John 5:7 has said this. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Revelations 1:17, and when I saw Him, I fell at His feet as dead, and He laid His right hand upon me, and saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. And by the way, God declared that in the Old Testament too. It's no surprise to find it in the New Testament. God declared it in the Old Testament. In Revelation 22 and verse 16, I, Jesus, sent my angel to testify to you these things to the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And you know something, church, when you read that there, it may ought to make you think about something. God said that there should not fail a man of David to rule on His throne if David would follow Him all the days of his life. And David did follow after God. He wasn't perfect, but David followed Him. And when David followed Him, he got Jesus, who was, the Bible says, after the order of Melchizedek. He is the great high priest. He was the last one you and I would ever need in our lives. He done everything for us. But look at what He said, the bright and morning star. That's one reason why I get so aggravated how when you read those other versions there, and it said, how about falling from heaven, O morning star? My Bible just told me Jesus was the morning star. He didn't fall from heaven. Church, He came down from heaven. He came down. He dwelt among us. He lived here. He showed us. He loved us. He did everything. He died for us. He was buried for us. But He rose again on the third day for us. He ascended unto the Father for us. He's coming back one day for us. I'm just here to tell you, church, who are you serving tonight? Can I introduce you to my God? Behold your God. Who is God? He is.
Amen.
And that's all that needs to be said. Stand with us tonight. Father, thank You, Lord, tonight for Your love, Your mercy and grace. Thank You, Father, for the blessings You give us. Thank You, Father, for Your Word. Thank You, God, for everything, Lord, You bestow upon us, dear God. And I pray, Father, help us tonight, Lord, to realize the value of who You are and who You'll be in our lives if we'll just let You. So I thank You, Father, for everything again we say tonight, Lord. Let it be in our lives what we need to be, for Your name's sake, for Your will to be done, Your name to be glorified. And we'll give You glory, we'll give You honor, and we'll give You praise. In Jesus' blessed, holy, righteous, beloved name, and amen. Amen.